Take your Bibles and stand with me, please. Turn to the book of Matthew. Matthew's Gospel. In verse chapter 14, I want to begin reading in verse number 22. Matthew's Gospel in verse number 22. If you found your place, say amen. All right. Straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. When's the last time you've been alone with your Heavenly Father? Without a distraction, left the cell phone somewhere else, the TV somewhere else. Jesus went up there alone, and he went to pray, and the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. They were saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, one word, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased, or it stopped. Amen. When they were in the ship, then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, their bowing before him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." You could say it like this: who else could walk on water?
Amen.
And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent about all the country round about, and brought unto him all that were diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched were made, look at that word, perfectly whole. Whatever was wrong, God fixed it in a moment of time. You can be seated. Pray for us, please, and pray with us. Our Father, we want to thank you today for the privilege to come in your presence. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your people. Thank you, God, for the wonderful, wonderful singing. Thank you, God, for this service. Lord, truly it'd be easy, Lord, just to dismiss and know that we've been in your presence and you've been in ours. Lord, this world has gone crazy. God, thank you for the church. Thank you for a place we can get in out of the storm for a little while. God, we can look beyond the clouds. We can see our Savior. I pray, Father, today you'd speak to our hearts. Help us, we pray. In Jesus' name, all of God's people said, amen. This is important. I've tried to teach you this before. I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter number 6. Mark, chapter number 6. I have read in your hearing this morning one account of this story, and God gives us three accounts in the Word of God. I believe it's important whenever God gives us more than one account that we read those accounts in the Gospels and compare them. There's not a contradiction, but beloved, there'll be things in one account that are not in another account, and vice versa. And I think it's very important for us to see that in the Scripture today. We're looking at Mark chapter 6, and we'll begin with verse number 45. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. We're going to find as we read, there are going to be some things that are different, some things that are added, and then there are going to be some things that are common in all of these verses. And when he was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. Here's something we didn't see. He saw them toiling and rowing. You know what they were doing? They were doing their best. I promise you this, if you think you're about to drown, you'd be doing your best too. They're doing the very best that they know how. For the wind was contrary unto them. Can I ask a question this morning? Can anybody sense the contrary winds? Amen. To the church? To the Christian? To the Scripture? To our country? Can anybody sense the contrary winds? And the Word of God said here, "And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them." We didn't see that in the other text. He was just going to go on. "And when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and they cried out." I don't know, but I would think if I was trying and rowing as hard as I could, and I saw somebody walking on water, and I didn't know about a man called Jesus, amen, I might be afraid of something besides the storm. Amen. Who is that? What's going on? The Bible said they all saw him. They were troubled. And immediately he talked with them, and he saith unto them, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure. And they wondered. The Word of God said, "For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened." I don't want to fuss at the disciples today, but I'll tell you what, it's a full-time job in the world we live in today, Brother Preston, to keep your heart sweet before God and keep it from being hardened by the things that are going on around us. Now turn with me, please, to the book of John. The book of John. The Bible said here in the book of John, and we'll begin reading in chapter number 6 and verse number 15. Here's another thing that we didn't see in the book of Matthew. "When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone." Is anybody getting the idea of the importance, amen, to read each one of the text and to compare Scripture with Scripture? "And when the evening was now come, his disciples went down into the sea. They entered into a ship. They went over the sea toward Capernaum, and it was now dark. And Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But he saith unto them, 'It is I. Be not afraid.'" I will say this morning, lest I forget it after a while. All three texts, Jesus said, "You don't have to be afraid. It is I. You don't have to be afraid. Be not afraid." Then they willingly received him into the ship, and this we didn't catch in any of the others. And immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. I mean, the Bible said immediately. I believe immediately they were on the other side. I'd like to go back and talk to you about a few things in these texts and talk to you as far as the subject about the need for prayer. The need for prayer. If there's anything in my life that I believe my flesh and this world and the devil fights harder than anything else in my life, it's my time with God, my time alone with God, my time to pray. I said, and I hope it's obvious in my life, I'm a people person. I love to be with people. I left here yesterday after the family had had the meal, and I went to see Brother Gary's mom in the ER. And this started out, Brother Steve, with Brother Gary's mom seeing double vision. And so they know now that she's had a couple of small strokes. And she told Brother Gary one morning, she said, "I see two of you." And he said, "Mom, that's the problem." He said, "'Cause Larry ain't here." That's his twin brother. Amen. Said, "I see two of you." Well, yesterday, my dear sister, she finally raised up a little bit, Sister Peggy Duncan, and she roused up a little bit. And so I got this little streak in me. I can't help it. I said, "Sister Peggy, I understand you've been having trouble with double vision." She nodded her head. "Yeah, she's having a hard time staying awake." I said, "I want to know how many fingers do I have up?" She immediately said, "One." I said, "Now, Sister Peggy, that's my thumb." And she cackled laughing, amen. I'm a people person. I'm a person, one of the things that's bothered me more than anything since COVID is sleeping during the day. I said to someone this morning, someone that's generally nice, but I said, "It's not in my DNA to sleep during the day." And this someone that's generally nice said, "It soon will be." You all generally are nice. Jesus, I'll give you several things that God's put in my heart. Number one, he sets an example. We should pay attention when Jesus, the Son of God, the one that could walk on water, the one that could break the loaves and the fishes and feed 5,000, feed 4,000, the one that could touch the blind, touch the lame, the one that could speak to Lazarus and he came forth out of the grave. That man had to take time alone with God. Brother Jason taught our teenagers this morning. And he opened his Bible, said, I believe God wants us to go to John 17. I about come unglued right there. Because there's Jesus praying in John chapter number 17, the intercessory prayer. We see that Jesus gives us an example in this text of the need to get alone, to go up into the mountain apart. We also see, beloved, in verse number 23, he sent the multitudes away, went up into the mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was now come, he was there alone. We see that example. But we see an exhortation from the Savior. And I believe it was in the book of Luke chapter 18, he said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. How many's looking around and seeing? I'm not talking about worldly people. I'm talking about folks that love God, fainting on God in this generation that we live in. Giving up on the church. Giving up on the Bible. Giving up on witnessing. Giving up on Sunday school. Giving up on the things of God. Jesus said men ought always to pray and not to faint. And then you have, beloved, in the Scripture, the exhortation from the Bible itself, the Scripture. The Bible told us over there, turn with me, please, to the book of Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2. I want to show you a verse of Scripture. The Bible said here, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplication, prayer, and intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. God expects His people to be a praying people. The book of Philippians, if you'll turn there with me for just a moment, at chapter number 4. The book of Philippians, chapter number 4. Listen to what the Word of God said. It all fits hand in hand. The Word of God said, let your moderation, this is verse 5 of Philippians 4, be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. How many believes that? Well, the closer we get, beloved, the closer we ought to get to Him. In that alone, in that mountain, in that prayer life. The Bible said the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God. How many know someone that doesn't have any peace? The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Beloved, we have the example of our Savior getting alone, going up into a mountain to pray. I've often wondered, especially this week, God spoke to my heart on Tuesday about this scripture. And I've been meditating and mulling it over and over. I wonder what Jesus was praying about up there. Well, I know that He knows what we need even before we ask. And so I believe one of the things Jesus was praying about, he was saying, Lord, the disciples are in that boat and they're headed to the other side. They're doing exactly what I ask them to do, Father. And they're going to encounter a storm. How many believes that God knows about our storms before we ever know about our storms? They're going to encounter a storm. And their faith is going to be shook. Has anybody ever experienced that? Your faith was shook. Not necessarily your faith, beloved, in your salvation and your Savior, but just the surroundings and the circumstances of life. Why? Oh God, why? I believe Jesus was praying about that. I believe Jesus was praying about the lessons that would be learned while they're on the sea. But I believe Jesus was also praying about that multitude on the other side of the sea. God, over there is a bunch of people that needs help. And so He's addressing the Lord, addressing the Father concerning those things. Turn to Hebrews chapter 1 quickly. I'll spend just a little bit of time here. We'll come back to the text. Hebrews chapter number 1. Just read a verse or two of Scripture here, and then we'll read another verse in Hebrews chapter 12 and another verse or two in Hebrews chapter number 7. In verse number 3 of Hebrews chapter number 1, the Word of God said, who being the brightness of His glory, the express image of His person, upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sin, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. I want to ask you a question. What's He doing sitting there? The Word of God said, beloved, He came into this world. He was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life, tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He went to Calvary. He gave His life. The third day, He rose again. He ascended back to the Father. And the Word of God said He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Can I tell you this? He's still doing what He was doing in the mountain when He went alone apart to pray. I'll show you. Look at Hebrews 12, please, quickly. Hebrews chapter number 12, the Word of God said in verse number 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. Boy, God, just give me something else there. Despising the shame. And is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I've thought about for years, what is that joy? I thought, well, number one, it brings joy in the presence of the angels every time a sinner repents and says yes to the Son of God. Thought about Brother Jim and Sister Marge. The joy that it brought to the Savior's heart that day when two people in their 80s, beloved, at the same time said yes to the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And then I thought about not only that, But what a joy it must have been when Jesus had to stand up and leave the right hand of the Father and come down here. What a joy it must have been to him to be able to go back and sit down in the same place that he arose from and came down here. But God just gave me something else. Look at it in its context. The Bible said right there in Hebrews chapter 12, and is sit down at the right hand of the throne of God. Turn with me, please, to Hebrews chapter 7. I'll tell you something else I believe that brought joy. The Word of God said in Hebrews chapter number 7, verse 24, but this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. Watch this now. Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. I want you to think about this, beloved. The Son of God is not weary sitting at the right hand. It brings joy to his heart to intercede for his people. He loves us. It's not something that's just a duty or a drudgery. It's something that brought joy to the heart of the Son of God. You say, Pastor, why is prayer so important? Let me give you something. Look at John chapter 6 again. I'm going to just try to start like this because I want to start with what I believe is the most important thing. Give you just a few things and we'll go. The Word of God said here in chapter number 6 and verse number 15, when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king. How many times over and over and over in the Scripture did Jesus say, my time has not yet come. My time has not yet come. You know what's going on in this text? Man is trying to get the Son of Man to do something that he's not supposed to do at this point in time. I'll tell you, prayer is important, beloved, because this world is forever going to be trying to get you and I to do something that we're not supposed to do. Go somewhere that we're not supposed to go. Look at something we're not supposed to look at. Listen to something we're not supposed to listen to. Say something we're not supposed to say. Amen. And our victories are not going to be won in the moment. Our victories are going to be won on the mountain. Amen. Jesus knew what they were up to. He didn't even try to withstand them. He headed out for some help. He got alone with God and he prayed. In another text, the devil himself comes and tempts him, and three times Jesus says, it is written, it is written, it is written. God would reemphasize this morning in our hearts the importance of the Word of God and prayer in the life of the child of God. It's not optional. We have to have it. Dads, we have to have it. Moms, we have to have it. Mamaws and papaws, we have to have this walk with God. So much is counting on it. Amen. I believe not only, beloved, was Jesus, they were trying to get Jesus to do something that he was not supposed to do. But if you go back to our text in the book of Matthew, the Word of God said in verse number 26, when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. I want to give you something. You may not know it, but if you don't, your head's in the sand. This world is full of troubled people. Brother Grizzle, that's why we have to try to take care of our church and try to guard against the Word of God talks about foreseeing the evil. That's why we have to, beloved, take the steps that we take because there are people in this world that are so troubled. The video game's not enough anymore. And beloved, let me say this. If you let your children play those games, them shoot 'em up games, and practice that all week long, Please talk to me after church. I won't be mean. I'll be kind. But there's something wrong. There's plenty to do in this world without being involved in that garbage. Hour upon hour upon hour upon hour upon hour in Facebook. And can't get 60 seconds in God's book. Jesus knew there's people that are troubled. And what I'm going to need, I need to approach my Father. I need to talk to my Father. People were troubled. The Word of God said in verse 27, Jesus said, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." I read a verse in John. The Lord just put it on my heart. I believe it came out in Sunday school as well. I'll just tell you, the Bible said, "In the world you shall have tribulation." That means trouble. But Jesus said, "Be of good cheer, I've overcome the world." Jesus is up there on the mountain thinking about those that are afraid, thinking about those that are troubled. I want to say this morning. It's just about time you and I, as God's people, got troubled over some things. The book of Isaiah said, "No man layeth at the heart. No man stirreth up himself to take hold of God." We ought to be troubled over some things. This week, Brother Coulter, he was telling me that the Rock of Ages and the program in the schools is going to get started in Sullivan County. And they're going to start in the high schools. And I told Brother Coulter this. I said, "I hope it works." He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, if it were me making that decision, I would probably start in the middle school." I said, "Brother, I'm talking about 1995, 1996. I was in volunteer high school with one of the Rock of Ages men, and those in that auditorium mocked and scoffed while he was trying to teach them the concepts, beloved, that would help them." I said, "I hope it's different now." I said, "I believe I might start with the younger ones and then go into the high school after you've already had a little groundwork laid." But the door is open. They're going to be teaching the character concepts. Those of you that go to the schools in the county, you ought to be praying right there. "Oh God, let me be a part of it. Let me be faithful to it. Let me encourage another student to come with me. And hear the precepts of God's Word. Might save their life." Watch this now. Peter said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." Peter still got a question mark. But I believe that word from Jesus erased the question mark, "Come." I want to say this. I was saying humbly, there's no voice like his. And it wasn't just necessarily the word, but the voice. Aren't you glad the Bible said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." If I didn't have another verse of Scripture, I'd plan on going to heaven on that one right there. Come. When Peter was come down out of the ship, why was Jesus praying? Because he knew. Listen to me carefully. I'm trying to hurry. He knew, Brother Wayne, somebody was going to get out of the boat. This church ought to jump straight up and down and turn backflips, because we've got a young man in this church that got out of the boat. Against all odds, Brother Steve, He turned his back on the insurance, turned his back on the company, turned his back on the things of this world, and said, God, I'll go. And now, beloved, listen, Brother Coulter's fixing to get on him. In September, he'll be with us the Sunday night before he leaves. But he's fixing to get on a ferry in Washington with his vehicle and sail into Alaska. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say, we owe it to him to be lifting him up in prayer. He got out of the boat. And Brother Steve, he's going to face things that are going to be difficult. There are going to be difficulties in that prison. There are going to be difficulties being away from mom and dad. He wept the other day and said, Pastor, I miss your preaching, when he just came to the family night. He said, I get out here and these churches are dead and dried up. He said, I miss your preaching. You say you're bragging on yourself. No, I'm trying to tell you, Jesus on the mountain knew about a man named Peter that was going to take a step of faith and get out of the boat. Peter is so criticized. I thank God. You say, well, Pastor, the Bible said, Jesus said, oh, thou of little faith. I wrote this in my Bible this morning. There was little faith, and then there was littler faith. I think I'll stay right here where it's safe. I'm going to tell you something this morning, beloved. If God wants you to stay here, you need to stay here. But if God wants you to get out of the boat, you need to get out of the boat. I thank God for these young men that are preaching and standing for the truth. I thank God for old men like Brother Steve that are preaching and standing for the truth. And I thank God for old men with gray hair like Brother Don that stood for 55 years preaching the Word of God. Blaze the trail. But Jesus up there praying. Somebody's fixing to get out of the boat. And then, Lord, there are others. They're not going to get out of the boat. They'll never leave their comfort zone. They're just going to stay where they're comfortable. You say, Pastor, are you fussing? No, 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 no. I'm telling you, we need to pray. You know how I believe people are going to get out of the boat? By faith. They had saw the Lord Jesus Himself walking on the water. They saw Him calm the wind and calm the waves. Y'all understand that that boat didn't have a motor on it. Y'all understand that there's all kinds of miracles going on here. Jesus walking on the water. I love the song when McCamey sang it years ago. I'm not sure who wrote it. When the waves of trouble are over your head, they're under His feet. That's a miracle. He's walking on the water. All of a sudden, it stops. That's a miracle. All of a sudden, they're on the other side. That's a miracle. Amen. These guys got boats nowadays with 250 and 300 horsepower motors on them. Amen. There was a guy who took me out on the lake one night. I was praying he knew the lake. Because he put that thing up there at 75, 80 mile an hour in the dark. He said, I know this lake. I'm thinking, I'm glad I know Jesus. I can't think of but one thing worse. That'd been getting that airplane, Brother Grizzle. Amen. Scared me a little worse. Amen. Jesus knew what was fixing to happen. Jesus knew there were those who were going to be encouraged, those that were going to worship. And Jesus also knew that on the other side, there's a multitude that needed help. And He said, a lot going to go on tonight. I better go talk to my Father. What if you and I developed that attitude? God, we don't know what's going to go on today. So before I do anything, I better just go talk to my Father, the one that already knows. He knows what we need, even before we ask. But He said to ask. thou shalt receive. The Bible said in verse 35, and when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all the country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole. I want to say something this morning before I close. And that is this. I do not believe that we're living in the days when a man has the power to heal. I believe that power is in God's hands. He said, let the elders of the church, let them call for the elders of the church, those that are sick, anoint them with oil, praying over them. The Bible told us those things. But I'm afraid, Brother Don, in our believing the Bible, the pastor don't have the power. If I did, Brother Don, you'd preach like you ain't never preached before. You'd breathe like you ain't never breathed before. If I did, there'd be people sitting in this congregation that are at home with Jesus right now. But here's what we don't need to minimize. We do know the one, Brother Mike, that has the power to heal. And if we're not careful, our faith will be diminished. God answers our prayer, but He don't always answer it the way we think it ought to be answered. Amen. Has anybody ever been hurt? As far as I know, I've never been mad at God. But there have been times in my life, Brother Don, when I fasted, I prayed, I begged God. And even in my heart and mind knew, just was assured of the outcome. And it didn't go the way that Pastor thought it ought to go. You say, well, Pastor, it hurt you. Why don't we be honest? It won't hurt. God already knows, amen, that it hurt me. But I will tell you this. I'm going to get home one day. And my father, Brother Steve, is going to lay out the big picture. And we're going to shout. We're going to praise him. We're going to know, Brother Michael, that it was in his perfect plan. That all we would have done is messed it up. God, in the Lord Jesus, went up into a mountain apart to pray. I believe God is calling his people. You say, Pastor, we got so many problems in our country. You may be here today and you have so many problems in your home. If you don't have problems in your home, you ought to be shouting the praises of God. We don't need to forget we got a God that's bigger than all the problems. A God that's bigger than all our sin. A God that's bigger than the trouble. Bigger than the fear. God's calling us to prayer. Let's bow our heads together. Father, thank you this morning for our perfect example, the Lord Jesus. God, I ask you to forgive me. Forgive me, God, for the prayerlessness, the carelessness. I ask you, God, to Lord, we've got homecoming and revival scheduled. God, if we take this message to heart, we begin to pray. Begin to invite others. Begin to do what we can. Be faithful. God, there's no telling what you might do. Our Father, this morning, we love you and we thank you for loving us. Thank you for a Savior. Though he loved to be around people too, he loved to help people. He loved to be able to say to people, "It is I, be not afraid." He also understood the need to go up into a mountain apart to pray. Others were trying to get him to do something, to be something that it was not time for in his life. And yet, Lord, he understood he needed help that could only come from thee. In this invitation, our Father, speak to the heart of that one that's not saved. Help them today, Lord, just to come to a place where they would say in their heart and in their life, "It's enough. I've lived for myself long enough. I've lived in my sin long enough. I need a Savior." Help them to come and trust Jesus. I pray, God, today that the saints of God would just spend a few minutes in prayer. God, that we would ask you, Father, to help us to be more diligent in this area of the Christian life. Help us, our Father, to pray. Help us to understand men ought always to pray and not to faint. Amen.